Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1520 KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. Call Kim now to share your journey, 805-289-1520. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome to another amazing day. And first and foremost, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Kim Pagano Show. If you are on the fence about your life, your job, your relationship, this is the show to be listening to. All my guests are going to help us get through this transformational this time in our life. So before I introduce everyone in my studio, I'm Kim Pagano. I'm your host. I am a hair therapist, a mother of four, and I'm blessed to have an amazing husband and partner. And I have 2 hours every Saturday to take you on along my journey of ups and downs. I have learned a lot of life skills, and I want to share them with you. With that, this is the Kim Pagano Show every Saturday at 2 o'clock. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about is I want to take you to our highest potential. And so that we start living and talking about it and filling our cup. That's what this is all about. So our first guest is Dr. Terry Orbach, and she is the Love Doctor, and her book is Finding Love Again. And so we're going to bring her on in just a little bit, and she's going to give us some simple steps for anyone whose romantic life is in the state of transition. Then we've got Ellen Hervella Russell, and she is a collaborative attorney and mediator, and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we've got Dr. Gloria Mealy, and she is a business coach. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Oh, good. We're all working then. Okay, great. And we've got Sharon Savitson, and she is a transformational and life coach, hypnotherapist, NLP master practitioner. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, thank you.
All right. And on our phones here, we've got Tom Spence. How are you doing, Tom?
All is well.
Okay. And our phone number here is 805-289-1520. I welcome your input or questions. And so I want to remind you, if for any reason you can't listen to the whole show, it will be posted on my website at kimpaganoshow.com. Also, please, if you are on Facebook, become a friend on my Facebook page, which is Kim Pagano Show. And I also want to welcome my mom, Monica, who's here with me. She's like my support. She loves coming down here and listening. So anyways, if you are out there and you're just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Let's get it started right here with the Love Doctor, Dr. Terry Orbach. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So what are we talking about in your book here, Finding Love Again? You know, I thought if we're kind of on the transition part of our life, which is there's a lot of people right now in transition. And I thought we would start off with if you have a relationship or if you might be going through possible divorce, correct? What is it? I mean, you want to always try to hold on to what you have, correct?
Correct. And I think if you are in a relationship that isn't doing well, you want to try to work things out, make it happy and healthy. But if you can't and you experience a transition then, divorce, separation, ending of a long-term relationship, or if you've just experienced the lost death of a loved one, this is the book for you. Because what it does is it helps you step back, explore yourself, your attitudes, your behaviors, your emotions connected to the past, your sense of self, and build it to a better place, and then helps you get back out there and hopefully find a new love again.
So, Terry, I know a lot of people, you know, we have a couple divorced people. I've been divorced and remarried again. Sometimes you pick the same person, just different face, correct?
And that is correct, Kim. I think it happens too often. Because if you don't step back and explore and examine who you're attracted to and what kinds of things you need and expect in a relationship and whether or not they're the best for you, you're going to go back out there and pick the same person and have the same patterns again in your next relationship. So this book is all about how do you step back? What do you focus in on? And it's based on science. It's based on a long-term study that I've been involved with of over 746 individuals now that I've been studying for over 25 years.
Hey, this is Sharon. And I'm divorced. So how do you make sure that you don't pick the same person over again?
Well, first, Sharon, you want to let go of your emotions that are connected to the past. We all have what I call emotional baggage, strong either positive or negative feelings connected to the past relationship or an ex. But you need to let them go, find healthy ways to release any anger, any frustration, any pining away. You want to blame the relationship or the two of you, not your partner, your ex-partner, not you, for why the relationship didn't work out. And those allow you then to let go of the emotions, because you need to be fully present. If you're still emotionally connected, you're going to be looking for someone, that person that you're emotionally connected to.
You know, it's interesting because I hear people say, he's this and he's that. And the truth is, as you say, we picked the person, and so we are both responsible for the failure of, or the transition, whatever it is, of the marriage and the divorce and everything else.
We had a guest a couple weeks ago, and you are a part of that partnership, right? I mean, you have to own your end of it. And so many people, say, he's found somebody new, but I kind of checked out of the relationship. Well, if you checked out, what is your other partner supposed to be doing, correct?
Correct. And if you can make that we statement, Kim, I found that people are more than twice as likely to be able to find love again. So just saying we weren't right for one another, we both are responsible for this, we married too young, that simple phrase allows you to let go and allows you to move forward and find love again significantly more often.
That's exactly right. This is Ellen. And when people come to their separating or their divorce with that kind of a healthy attitude, just recognizing that they both had a part in how their relationship evolved, they can remain, they can actually remain friends. And what we hope for is that, they can dance with each other at their children's wedding and, attend the graduations and grandparent the kids together. And people do not have to look back on a tarnished relationship. They can look back at it and think of those as precious
jewels. A chapter in their life. You know, when I was going through my divorce, I finally got to the point where I love you enough to let you go. I mean, I really do. If you do love them, you wouldn't have got married, you wouldn't have had children. So you have to look at all the blessed things that you had with them and know that that time has come to an end, and now how do I start my new life?
And that's so hard, though, I think, because most people have the anger toward the ex, the anger toward it ending, and the anger toward, those things that you thought would happen that never did. And so, 65% of the people who got divorced from my study felt that anger. But I totally agree that you need to figure out how to let go of that anger.
Definitely. So now, do you reset your expectations? How do you not find the same person if it didn't work the first time?
And that's the first chapter in the book, is to reset expectations. Very good.
I love that.
I mean, what I found is that most people, when they get divorced or experience the loss of a long-term relationship, they have unrealistic expectations about the next relationship. They don't have correct assumptions about relationships, about what to do after divorce, about partnerships, about love. And so that if you can begin to have realistic expectations, examine your beliefs about relationships. For example, many people in my study thought that they needed to wait a set time period after divorce before they could get back out there and date again. And what we know when we look at science and my study is that that's not true. There's no research to support that you need to wait a specific time period, whether that be a year or 2 years. The time period is different for every single person. We ourselves know when we're ready. And some people actually emotionally separate while they're still married and they're still in the relationship. So when they get divorced, they're ready to date again.
This is so true. I just want to remind anybody that is just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Terry Orbach, and her book is Finding Love Again. We're talking about transition. We're talking about probably everybody's life. At one point, you're either kind of going into your next chapter of life. And I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-289-1520. We welcome your comments if you have something that resonates with you. Gloria, I know that you had a question you wanted to ask.
Yeah, where does fear fit in? Because I would imagine after being in a relationship for a long time, I've been married for 22 years, so I have not started again. But I would imagine there would be a lot of fear related to that. And could you talk a little bit about that?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of people have fear about what's going to happen next, that they may be too old, that they may not know or be able to find anyone. And fear and letting go of that fear is so very important. First, I'll say that those single divorced individuals who were hopeful, who were optimistic about their futures rather than fearful or concerned, were significantly more likely to find love again. And I think the root of fear is insecurity and not feeling good about yourself. And when you can say to yourself, I'm good, I'm great, I know who I am, that's, and I like myself, I should say that.
That's an important part, yeah, definitely.
I like myself. Then you can let go of that fear, you can feel the hope or the optimism, and then people are going to be so much more attracted to you. What we know is that people are attracted to others that are hopeful and optimistic. It rubs off on us, people are happier, and we all want optimistic, positive people in our lives.
Terry, I think the key, Sharon, I think that the key point that you made is knowing who you are. And I think when I started dating, I was trying to be everything that I thought the date wanted me to be, until I stopped and said, you know, who am I? Who am I looking for? What is it that I want? So, and I think the process of you need to be ready to date no matter when it, and not to date, but to find a relationship. There are stages that you go through after the divorce, and mourning is one of them. So whether you date 1 week later or 1 year later, finding out who you are is very, very important.
Right. And I you know, I think another big thing we talked about, that you don't have to wait to start dating.
No.
Because you're right. When you are isolated in a relationship, that's your time of starting to kind of put who you are again together. And so many of us lose who we are and start, you know, to be afraid of getting out there.
Absolutely. And we compromise when we're in a relationship. We become someone that we may not want to be, or once the relationship is over, we don't know who we are. And there are two exercises, Sharon, that really address in my book what you're speaking to. One is that you examine your own key life values as you are in that point of transition. You look at what you think about family and money and religion and health, and you decide, what are my key life values? Because when you get out there and you find someone, you want someone who is similar to you in those key life values. And the second exercise that's so important that addresses what you're speaking to, Sharon, is an exercise that I call the 15 quality exercise. Before you get back out there, write down 15 qualities that you want in a partner. They're very specific qualities, no more than 15 and no less than 15. And make sure that you can recognize those qualities in someone if you see someone who has it. When you can write those qualities down, you know who you're looking for, significantly then more likely to find someone, again, who's right for you.
I love where this is going. And again, if anybody's just tuning in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Terry Orbach, and her book is Finding Love Again. Now, you have six simple steps to a new and happy relationship. And, you know, one of them is, well, my question is, do we have to adjust our expectations?
Absolutely. I totally think we need to adjust our expectations, Kim, because when we have high expectations and reality doesn't meet those expectations, we become frustrated and extremely disappointed. And what I've found is that that's what eats away at happiness in a relationship. When reality doesn't meet what we think should happen, and we all have those should statements in our heads, we become frustrated and we become so unhappy. And so if we can lower them, not have low expectations, but lower them to where they're realistic, where it's going to meet reality, that's when we can enjoy and be happy and not get frustrated in our relationship.
Now, do you ever talk to couples that are almost on the brink of divorce and have them try to stay together?
You know, I do talk to couples who are extremely frustrated, who are thinking about divorce and separating. I don't encourage them to stay together. I don't make the decisions at all. But what I do is ask couples and spouses questions about their relationship. For example, one of the things that's so important is that you know your partner's top expectations for an ideal relationship. And they may be very different than mine or yours. And so what you want to do is sit down with your partner and say, what are the top two things that you need or you see that have to happen in this relationship for you to be happy?
You know, I think you brought up a really great point, because there's so many couples that you might think you're keeping your house spotless, and, you know, or, you know, your car is always neat, but they want sex, right? You know, and so the house or the car doesn't really mean anything. So you really do need to know what it is at their top of their priority, correct?
Exactly. And they don't have to be your priorities. And what we tend to do, like you just said, Kim,
yeah,
is try to behave toward our partner where we think our expectations are important, and they are not necessarily our partner. So you have to sit down. If you want to try to meet your partner's expectations, you have to know them. And we can't mind read either. Sometimes we think we're showing our partner or we're giving them nonverbal cues for what's important, but they may not necessarily be picking up on those. So sit down and share your top expectations, and then you ask your partner what their top two expectations are as well. And that's where I start out with couples who are frustrated, thinking about divorce, very unhappy in their relationship, because I think usually at the core, at the root of that unhappiness is my expectations aren't being met.
Wow, I like it. Now, you know, you have something on your website, Shake Up Your Routine. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, what I found is that all couples go through what I call these ruts. And they're relationship ruts. They're the same old. They're sort of when our relationship is boring and habitual, and we're just coasting along in a relationship. Now, it's okay if that happens in a relationship, I found. But if it stays for a long period of time, that boredom is something else that eats away at happiness in a relationship. So what I found couples need to do is shake things up a little bit. And what you want to do is three simple things. First, you want to add something new to your relationship. That can be a new activity, a new restaurant, a new travel spot. Anything new adds excitement, passion, and gets you out of the rut. second, you want to add a little bit of mystery, surprise. The element of surprise, whether that be taking our partner on a treasure hunt across the city, giving them a little greeting card in the mail, sending them a greeting card, or even calling them and putting a voicemail on their voicemail at work. Anything that's different and surprising also will shake things up. And finally, third, I call it an arousal-producing activity, but it's clean. it's clean, so everybody can sigh and breathe again. What you do is you do an arousal-producing activity with your partner. Exercise. Ride a roller coaster ride. Go to a scary movie, or even go to a comedy club where you get that arousal, that big laughter. As long as you're doing it with your partner, what I found is that the arousal that's produced through the first activity can actually get transferred to your partner and your relationship, and again, can shake things up and get you out of the boredom.
Okay. Now, my last question to you is, if somebody's just starting off dating, you know, there's definitely some rules, you know, where, you know, there's a lot of women and men that spill their guts right off on the first date, right? Is that a yes or a no?
That's a no.
Okay. So what are the rules for dating?
Well, I call what you just said the airplane phenomenon, where you happen to be sitting next to someone that won't stop talking, and that's revealing too much. You feel overwhelmed. The same thing is true on a first date. Don't reveal everything to your date on that first date. Reveal things gradually over time. It makes you more exciting, and your partner or date isn't too overwhelmed. Now, that's a dating do and don't. Another dating do and don't is that the first date should be short and sweet. I call them two-hour dates, where they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So that way, if things aren't going well, you're out the door. And if you like that person, you can just make another date. Another thing is to ask questions. What we tend to do on first dates is talk a lot. Instead, people love to be asked questions, especially women. So remember that you're going to do half of the talking, and you're going to ask questions and allow your date to talk the second half.
You're right, because there's a lot of dates that some of them, one side, right? I know what you, right?
I went on one the other day.
Yeah, and you never got a word in edgewise, right?
No.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that probably wouldn't be the best thing. So now, you know what I want to do is, what are your simple, your six simple steps?
Well, the first step is, we already talked about, explore your expectations. Make sure they're not unrealistic, but instead we have realistic expectations and beliefs about relationships. Second, it's the emotions that are connected to the past. Let them go in order to move on. Third is all about your behaviors. Fourth is your sense of self. We talked about, examine your values, your key life values. Make sure you write down the qualities that you want in a partner. Fifth is getting back out there. And we talked a little bit about the do's and don'ts of dating again. And then the last sixth simple step is all about how to have a happy and healthy relationship. What did I found are the key factors to a successful relationship?
Wow, sounds great. Where do we find your book, Terry?
My book is on all of the online bookstores, sorry about that, as well as your local bookstores. My website also is Dr. Terry, D-R-T-E-R-R-I, thelovedoctor.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for all those great tips. And, you know, I just want to say that if you can make it work, you know, my grandmother used to say, it's better to know the devil you know than the devil you don't know. So with that, we're going to take a really quick break, and we've got lots more for you. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'd love to give away some festival, Harvest Festival tickets right now. We've got that coming up October 5th through the 7th at the Ventura County Fair. And we'll take caller number 4 and 5. We've got a set for each of them. And 805-289-1520. All right. Well, stay with us.
A paid program. KVTA and Gold Coast Broadcasting accept no responsibility for any of the claims made.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair. And I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair. And she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Hello, it's Kim Pagano here, and I only use the best when it comes to real estate. I'd like to introduce you to Shannon Rojas. She is the best.
Hello, I'm Shannon Rojas, and whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, I can help you with all of your needs. Give me a call at 805-889-4900, 805-889-4900. I look forward to hearing from you.
This is your Ventura 101.com weekend datebook for September 29th and 30th, brought to you by The Kim Pagano Show on KVTA. I'm Jocelyn Rohrbach. Today, the first annual Banana Port Festival takes place in Port Hueneme. Today, the Newberry Park Library presents their used book sale. The 6th annual Classic Car Show and Brew Fest takes place today at the Camarillo Ranch. Tomorrow in Oxnard, the Gull Wings Children's Museum presents an opening reception family event for its latest exhibit, Bird on the Roof. Tomorrow, the Goleta Depot presents the 30th annual Depot Day celebration. And all weekend long, the Ventura County Pet Expo is happening at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. For more info about any of these events and even more happening this weekend in Ventura County, visit us online at Ventura101.com or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Ventura101.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally. On News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and congratulations to all our winners. We got lots more to give away, and do you know who they were, Tom?
It was Jan and Ryan. We had Jan Granstrom and Ryan Yanagihara.
All right. Congratulations, and thank you so much for winning and for listening also. Right now I'm going to bring Ellen Hervella Russell on, and you are a collaborative attorney and mediator. What does collaborative mean? That's a whole nother way of doing things, correct?
It is. It's a specific process for divorcing. It's also an out-of-court process. The parties each have their own attorney.
It's kind of like a win-win, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Collaborative and mediation are both based on that, on finding what meets everyone's interests.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about yourself and how you reinvented yourself.
Well, I sure have, Kim. I was working for the County of Ventura, first for the Welfare Department and then for the Child Support Division when I decided to go back to school. And that was when I was, you know, just becoming 40. And so I looked into all the options and decided to go to law school. So I went to our Ventura College of Law, which is a really good school. And I graduated from there and sat for the bar and passed it on the first time. So that was
congratulations. Wow.
Shot in the arm.
Yeah, there you go.
And because I had the background in child support and working with those laws and working with that population, I stayed in the family law sector.
So you saw the rough times that a lot of the couples had, right? If you were in the welfare?
Welfare, definitely.
Yeah.
And child support, yes.
Deadbeat dads, all of that, right? I mean, you know, and it goes on both ends, correct?
Right. And in those days, this is quite a while ago, they didn't have the guideline. I date back to before they had guideline support. As much as people don't like the idea, the guideline has helped to keep a lot of people out of poverty, because before that, they would just routinely say $50 a month per child, $100 a month per child, not based on anything. So even though sometimes these guidelines are tough, when parties come to the table, to mediation or collaborative, they don't necessarily have to go with guideline, but they have to know what it is. And a lot of times they pick something that works for them.
Now, I know a lot of couples are staying in their marriage. I mean, I know a lot, just my own friends, my own circle, right, that because they simply can't afford to move. And would that be your advice?
I wouldn't say it was my advice, but I do recognize there are a lot more options for couples today that are in those in that position. As far as we're going to be talking later about the over 50 sector, and there are a lot of couples in that age group that are choosing to just live separately and maybe not file anything, just continue on with their relationships with their children and with their family, friends, and really almost like nothing has changed.
When you say nothing has changed, though, I mean, because you're going to be living in another place, right? Maybe even just being roommates, right? And one person gets to keep the house, the other person. Your life is definitely upside down, correct?
Well, again, I'm not advising to do this, but I'm aware of this trend. It was actually written up in the New York Times last year, and they called it the undivorced phenomena. And a lot of that is the outcome of the economic situation. And no, they don't change any of the ownership or anything. And some of the couples that I work with that are, in fact, either going through the process to have a legal separation or to have a divorce are also deciding, let's not divide the house at this time. Let's keep on joint ownership and wait until we see what happens with the values. A lot of times they say, well, let's wait and see until when the younger child graduates from high school or, you know, some other date that's significant, and then we'll decide. Because really, nobody is real certain about what's going to happen with the economy. So
it's a safer place to be, right? And you've worked so hard for everything that you've earned that you give it all away. Not only that, is a lot of high-end, you know, people open up their whole empire to everything, correct? I mean, you are the focus of everything.
Do you mean a lack of confidentiality when you go through the process? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, I know that a couple couples were thinking that, you know, if they have investments, everything gets put on the table. And if they keep their stuff, if they just kind of separate, but yet at the same time keep everything the same, like you're mm-hmm. talking about, nothing goes undiscovered.
I'm curious about something. Are these couples amicable that are choosing to work this way?
You know, I would assume they are. I have some friends, and maybe some of you know people that are in this situation, but I have some friends that actually live on the same property, and they've been doing that for a number of years, and they share their pets, and they have a great relationship, and they haven't had to address those property divisions. I have to tell you, though, from the standpoint of a lawyer, it is very anxiety provoking, because we like things more clear cut. So, but when I come to mediation from a lawyer background, and so I'm stretching all the time in this, in learning how people devise agreements that work for them. And so I have to open up and say, you know, if it's working, really, do we really need to go down the other path? And And for that couple, it's working. I know others, too, who have adult children, and, you know, they're not interested in being in another relationship, so it works. Those people, the other people that I know, live in the same house, and it works for them.
I mean, it sounds logical, right? Uh-huh. But then you bring, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend into the situation, that's when it probably gets a little crazy.
That's
no, I know
exactly
you're
right.
Right? Yeah, I would say. And, you know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking about reinventing your life. And, you know, in every avenue, I mean, there's things that we don't go out thinking we're going to get a divorce. We don't think that our relationship's going to end, but things happen. Now, your website is Divorce Without Court. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it describes what I do. The service that I provide for people is to help them go through a divorce or a legal separation, if they wish, without having to go to court. Of course, any of these processes that are legal have to be filed in the court, but people do not have to go there, and contrary to Hollywood, they don't have to fight. That's one of the problems with our culture, is that we have had the Hollywood model of divorce for so many years that people a lot of times think they have to get dramatic about it, and that can cost them a lot of money. What I like to show is that Hollywood now is starting to understand. There are couples. Robin Williams had a collaborative divorce with his wife. There was a Disney relative that had a collaborative divorce. The positive side is that when you are staying out of court, when you're having a divorce without court, although you still have to do your disclosures between the parties, you don't have to put very many facts into the court file. By the way, the court file is open to the public to peruse. And
that's what I mean by exposing yourselves. Everything
exactly.
that you have, that you've worked all your life for,
right.
is right there for the whole world to see.
Exactly. Now, you do have to do the disclosures, because every final agreement is based on each party knowing all the information about what there is at issue, and also lack of duress or coercion. So that's the only way to get to a fair and final agreement, is to meet those two criteria. And basically, the court has made it a requirement that they disclose everything.
Wow, so it's all on the table. Wow.
You know, I think one thing that comes up for me that I'm hearing you say is, especially when you have children, you're being a role model of learning to solve things and to work together. And I think that what happens when people get divorced, as much as they say this is all about the kids, it really isn't. It's all about you surviving or doing whatever it is that you need to do. And all about the kids is really being that role model.
So true. Another point along those lines is, people sometimes say that they're staying together for the kids. And
what is your, I mean, with working with a lot of different people, that's not really the best way, right? Because your kids get older and go away. Although, on the other hand, you know, a lot of people are empty nesting. As soon as your kids go to high school or college, right, that's when you say, guess what, we're done.
Right. And it impacts the child, whether they're a child or whether they're an adult child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that a lot of people are unaware of how that impacts. But on the other hand, it impacts children greatly when they see their parents, who are supposed to be loving, you know, a loving family, when they're the example and they're fighting all the time.
So that's, yeah, so it's the worst of both the, you know, situations. Now, why are you focusing more on 50-year-olds?
Actually, there are, at this time, there are more 50-year-olds filing for divorce than there have ever been. And
is that like a midlife crisis? Is that the age? Because, I mean, nowadays they say 50 is the new 30, correct? We're living longer. I mean, right?
That's right. It could be, but there was a study out of Bowling Green University in Kentucky that was released at the beginning of the year. And basically, they had the statistics that although the divorce filings are going down for the general public, they're actually going up for the over 50 set. And they're thinking, you know, people are living longer. They don't want to stay with a spouse that it, you know, where it's not working. They want the, people are big on fulfillment, on the bucket list idea, and there's just a lot of reasons. And of course, they're also saying because they're baby boomers. I don't know if any of you are, but I am. And we just, there's more, there's less of a stigma with divorce. Oh, and another factor was that there's a higher rate of divorce for people with their second marriage or third marriage. So
really? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
I think that goes back to choosing the same thing again. So you're choosing, you go back to what you know, the familiarity. And
definitely.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you help couples reconcile?
That's a good question. It wouldn't be something that I, you know, guaranteed that I could help with, but I've actually had that happen as an outcome of mediation, because mediation is based on better communication. So we teach communication skills, and a big part of it is listening. And when the parties who are somewhat estranged start to hear each other, start to look at each other's interests, and start to go over everything that they have and
kind of reminisce over their life and
exactly.
Go, wait a minute, we actually did do a good job, right? Or it could be like me, you know, I went to a therapist and she said, give me five visits. And on the third one, she's like, you should not be married anymore, you know? I mean, and it's clear, it could be black and white, just like that, right?
Exactly. So I've had people reconcile in the middle of a divorce process through that. You know,
yes.
And the most dramatic one was, you know, they wanted it filed. I already took it over to the court, submitted it, and I had to call and get a clerk to pull it off the shelf. It was just about to be signed by the judge. And I told them, you're lucky you're in Ventura County, because in L.A. County, that probably wouldn't have happened.
But you hear about couples that get divorced and then get remarried how many times?
My grandparents married and divorced each other three times.
Yeah, right. I have a couple people
can't
that I know.
Can't live with you, can't live without you.
There you go. It's the best of both. Now, my last question is, are couples over 50 different from younger couples that you work with?
Their needs are different in that, you know, especially for the one that maybe didn't see it coming, it can really be devastating. Divorce can be that way for anybody at any age, but at, you know, over 50, when people are nearing retirement and they have an expectation, again, we go to expectation, but when they have an expectation, it can be harder for them to recover. I always suggest that they get counseling and get support with the process, and I love to inspire and see them find their new life after 50.
Okay, that's great. You know what we're going to do is we're going to just move right over to Gloria Mealy, and I know you both are putting together a seminar, right? It's called Reinventing Your Life After 50.
Yeah.
And so I want to share a little bit about that, and I know that you have, there's only, you know, not a lot of seats, but right. So first of all, when is that?
It's next Saturday, October 6th at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we're doing a Saturday morning session, and we're doing the same session on Tuesday evening at 6:30. Mm-hmm. It's a 90-minute program, really talking about reinventing your life from career perspective, relationship perspective, planning, financial issues, and then also, you know, all about after 50, how are some of these transitional issues coming up in your life, and how can you deal with them?
Why was 50 your marker?
Well,
you know, I mean, I just wondered, because, you know, I mean, we all have different ages that we go through things, but just curious.
Well, you know, it was again a collaborative issue, and a lot of us were at the table talking about who we wanted to reach out to. I am the only person in our group who's not yet 50.
Ah, see, so
so it is, but I will be 50 in a matter of weeks, so it's definitely relevant to me,
right?
As well, although I have already gone through one reinvention in my own career, but In looking at the data, I'm a psychologist, so I also look at data, kind of like Dr. Terry and also Ellen. People have 2 to 6 careers in their lifetime.
Right.
And The days of staying at that job for 40 years and retiring with your pension are over. And that's an expectation. I think the expectation word is going to come up a lot in this 2 hours, because that's another expectation that people are no longer able to really achieve.
So, okay, so on Saturday or Saturday and Tuesday, where is it going to be, first of all?
It's at the Camarillo Chamber of Commerce conference room.
Okay.
And it seats 25 people. So it really is a limited.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a limited.
Well, I want to give out our phone number here, 805-289-1520, if you are looking to reinvent yourself. And I really don't think it's a matter of sticking at 50, correct? It's really if you really need a change in your life, you're on the fence about anything, I would recommend, you know, definitely looking into this. We are going to talk a little bit more about what Dr. Gloria Mealy does. And I know you're a business coach, but you've got a lot of different avenues, right? Because really, when you're in out of your relationship and you're in your work, in your business life, it's another chapter of who you are. And so many of us, I mean, you hear the word passion, and not all of us are lucky enough to find our passion work, right? But sometimes you can kind of, you know, find things that you love about it that help you meet new people and a different organization, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that I love to do. And that's one of the reasons I work predominantly with women, is that women tend to make careers out of their passion. And they may leave a career to go into something because they're so passionate about it. Maybe they figured that out when they were volunteering at their kid's school or doing something else that was not necessarily part of their career.
You know, when you say that volunteering at school, you know, I don't know how many people, I mean, I used to be PTA president, mom, all that stuff. And you realize that, oh my God, I could put parties and weddings together in a heartbeat, right? And so you don't realize all your talents that you do and you're not getting paid for it. And all of a sudden you say, wait, let me put a price on this.
Absolutely. And when I work with people who are in transition, especially women who haven't worked outside the home for a number of years, I immediately ask them about their volunteer work, because we are amazing, the things that we do for nothing, you know, for the joy of doing it and for our kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Gloria Mealy is, we're talking to her right now, and you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. How does somebody reinvent their career?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
That's a big question. But there's definitely a lot of different things to do. First of all, I think, is really to tap into where your passion is. A lot of it has to do with knowing yourself and being aware. And I think all of us have that in common as well, who are around the table today.
You're right, but there is a lot. I mean, there's been a time in my life where I wondered, wait a minute, do I love what I'm doing? You know, I mean, I feel so fortunate having my hair therapy that I love, and then, you know, doing my radio show. But there's a lot of people that really don't know who they are. And so, you know, we're going to talk a little bit with Sharon about finding who you really are and the steps to take care of that. But when somebody actually comes to you and says, I need to make money, I need to change, maybe they're going through a divorce, maybe they've lost their husband, maybe they're not married and they just need a new direction, what is the first step that somebody should take?
My first step, the first question I ask somebody is, what have you done in your life that has totally excited and engaged you? What do you love to do? And what have you done that you felt so energized and excited and proud of yourself? And let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. I'll tell you what, when I, you know, work with people with hair therapy and I work through that, is I always look at what is it that you get the most compliments about. I mean, those are like our God gifts. Those are gifts that we don't even know that we're good at. And you walk in and you've got a whole table set or you've got flowers put out and they're like, oh my God, who did this? Oh, nothing, you know, and you go do it. So that's, to me, where you want to start, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, my reinvention really was moving from working in mental health for many years to working as a coach and helping people more focus on their strengths and bringing out their best, because I worked for 20 years figuring out what was wrong with people.
Well, I love that, because I think we as a society, as a nation, really do that. We focus on what we're not good at and where we're lacking versus what our strengths are.
Yes, and women, we are the the worst at it, or we're the best at it, I don't know. But we are very good at figuring out all of our little weaknesses and things that aren't going so well, or where our hair is going in the wrong direction, whatever.
We pick everything apart, don't we?
We beat ourselves up all the time, but I will tell you what I tell my clients. If this was your daughter standing in front of you, would you treat her the way that you treat yourself?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Powerful, really powerful. So I always start with people refocusing them on their strengths and their passions and their successes, because that's the best launching point to move forward to what the next step is and what you want to do.
Right. And now you work with different clients that you take them through the different steps of teaching them how to, you know, go on the computer, all that stuff.
I work with new business owners to help them put business plans and strategies together. So I run mastermind groups and I have coaching programs for that. And then I also work with people who are in transition, figuring out their strengths, their personality styles that may be best used in different types of careers.
Wow. So you kind of, I mean, that's a whole nother playing field right there. So I'm excited to continue to talk to you about it. And we're going to find out what the biggest career changes people are facing at 50. So we're going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Again, our phone number here is 805-289-1520. I'd love to give away two tickets right now to the Roxy Stadium 11 in Camarillo. Again, our phone number is 289-1520. And we'll take caller number 7.
This is your Ventura101.com weekend datebook for September 29th and 30th, brought to you by The Kim Pagano Show on KVTA. I'm Jocelyn Rohrbach. Today, the first annual Banana Port Festival takes place in Port Hueneme. Today, the Newberry Park Library presents their used book sale. The 6th annual Classic Car Show and Brew Fest takes place today at the Camarillo Ranch. Tomorrow in Oxnard, the Gull Wings Children's Museum presents an opening reception family event for its latest exhibit, Bird on the Roof. Tomorrow, the Goleta Depot presents the 30th annual Depot Day celebration. And all weekend long, the Ventura County Pet Expo is happening at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. For more info about any of these events and even more happening this weekend in Ventura County, visit us online at Ventura101.com or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Ventura101.
It's Kim Pagano here, and I only use the best when it comes to real estate. I'd like to introduce you to Shannon Rojas. She is the best.
Hello, I'm Shannon Rojas, and whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, I can help you with all of your needs. Give me a call at 805-889-4900, 805-889-4900. I look forward to hearing from you.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520
KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got a couple minutes to the top of our hour, but I do want to remind you that we are on for a whole nother hour, and we're going to be talking about anything that can enhance your life. And so your cup could be full. I do want to do a little shout out. As you heard on there, that I am a hair therapist. And I had the opportunity to meet two of my listeners that came in yesterday to have their hair done. And just a little shout out to Debbie and Lori. It was amazing meeting you. And I hope that you feel beautiful inside as well as out. So with that, we're talking right now with Gloria Mealy, Dr. Gloria Mealy, and she is coaching and consulting and training. She is a business coach, and we are reinventing your career. So I'm so glad that you are tuned in right now. Our phone number here is 289-1520. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. And again, Dr. Gloria, what are some of the biggest career challenges, you know, facing people 50?
Yeah. Well, there are some kind of gloomy statistics. I do like to work with people's strengths, but also I like to tell you the facts. Basically, the unemployment rate for people over 55, this is the good news, is lower than the national average, is around 6%. But older job seekers are out of work significantly longer than younger job seekers. So they're out of work sometimes for half a year or over a year, and some of them do stop looking. And then when they are reemployed, the salaries tend to be significantly lower in people 55 and over, as opposed to...
And yet they have so much more knowledge. Go figure.
It's true.
Right.
It's true. It's very difficult these days to get another job in whatever you were doing at the same level of pay or higher when you're an older person who might have been laid off, who's lost their job for some reason.
That's a really unfortunate number right there.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And so that does play into problems with self-confidence and issues around fear, like Dr. Terry was talking about before, that fear really does come from insecurity and problems with self-confidence.
Well, do you attribute that?
We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.